Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Have you ever found yourself trying to express your needs, your wishes, your wants, your desires with your queen, but you get shut down and you feel hurt and rejected as a result of that? Have you ever had the experience of trying to express what's emotionally live for you, trying to explain or bring your queen in on your healing journey, on insights you've had in therapy or reading a book, and you feel that you get shut down? You have this experience that she doesn't want to know about it. Do you ever find yourself in your mind thinking, well, she should just know better. She should just know that that's what I want. She should just know that I need this. She should just know that I'm upset, that I'm angry. She should know this pisses me off. She should know better. If you're saying yes to any or all of the above, you are in the vast majority of husbands on the planet. This episode is talking about shadow work. I won't hide from you. It's my most passionate belief. I am 100% biased on this topic. Yet, my firmest belief is that every single husband on the planet would benefit exponentially to an extraordinary degree by doing shadow work. Yet, shadow work, there's a lot spoken to it. Maybe some of you have heard about it before. There's many different opinions as to what way to go at it. In this episode here, I want to sort of simplify what it's about and make it practical. You know, rational-minded guys, you want to know what's in this for you. You know, in shadow work, it's like not just another idea and another healing modalities. There's millions of them out there. But what's the real fucking deal with it for you? You know, in your life, what would it bring to you? And I would say also it's very important to know, well, what's the result of not having access to shadow work in your life? Well, if you're listening into this podcast, you're experiencing a struggle in your marriage. You're experiencing a suffering, a pain. And I would say it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary for you to be struggling in marriage. It's unnecessary for your queen to be having a struggle with you and your kids looking on at this. And that is the price to pay for not doing shadow work. Coming into this episode, there's the recognition that there are two human needs. Every single one of you listening in, you have human needs. You have the needs of attachment and the needs of authenticity. Without these needs being met, you cannot biologically survive and you cannot thrive. You cannot be happy. You cannot feel fulfilled. And that beautiful, mystical, almost all elusive idea of fulfilling your potential, does that ring home to you? The vast majority of men that I meet in this work, they're living a life that is not their own. They're ticking all of these boxes, you know, the boxes at work, the financial boxes, paying off the mortgage, doing their damnedest best, every single one of you, doing your absolute best at home, ticking as many boxes that your queen needs off you, your kids needs, the needs of mowing the lawn, tending to the house, getting the car serviced. You know, it's like, it's a fucking insurmountable mountain of shit that we've got to do. And you're doing your best in it. It's astounding how much you get done. And yet, there's still a struggle. There's still a struggle. Most guys have a feeling that they end up waking up in their life. This is like the midlife crisis idea. But they wake up, you know, psychologically one day, spiritually, they go on a walk. You've had some inspirational experience. You've read a book. You've watched a film. You've listened to some exalting, inspirational bit of music. And you have this nagging feeling that the life you're living is not your own. Like, who the fuck are you? Like, this life, like, why are you doing that job? Why are you parenting that way? Why are you emotionally reacting the way you do? Why do you go around with this sort of attitude that you're just not happy, you're frustrated, you're actually sullen, you're just not, you know, why do you react the way you do with your queen? Why is it that you're married? Why did you get married? You know, why? There is this nagging background feeling in most guys, but we don't really speak to it. And as a result, the only thing we do is, well, just get back to same shit, different day. This is the life that I know. Get back in the job as a husband. Get back in the job, like the literal job, the career job. Just keep ticking the boxes. Keep ticking the boxes. But the wake-up call is there. There's a quote from Carl Jung, who is pretty much sort of like the founder, the originator of shadow work, the term. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Shadow work is all about bringing the unconscious conscious in your mind, in your life. Now, what's it really pointing to? You know, the two human needs, attachment and authenticity. Okay, attachment needs, just to get clear, are food, touch, movement. They're direct human needs. They're fundamental to survival. Without these needs being met, we die. Literally, as a young baby, food, well, it's self-explanatory, we starve. Touch, you know, when you cry, you're looking for touch. You're looking to be held. When we experience touch in the form of attachment needs, we can self-regulate. You know, the healing power of a hug. You know, if somebody dies, we hug other people. No matter how emotionally constipated we are, we'll give a hug. We'll put a hand on a shoulder. It's attachment needs. Movement. Well, you cry as a baby. You're looking to be moved out of the situation because, you know, you've shit yourself. You've peed yourself. You need to be moved. You need to be moved to the bathroom and some action to be taken. If you're feeling really uncomfortable, you need to be moved out of that area. You're too cold. You need to be moved inside. Movement. So attachment needs are fundamental for our survival. Authenticity is our human need to be true to ourselves. It's essential for thriving as a happy human being. So attachment needs and authenticity needs. Attachment, food, touch, movement. Authenticity, it's an inside-out job. Sort of like attachment needs are the outside-in. It's like, hey, you need, I need you, mom, dad, people, babysitter, whoever, to meet my needs from the outside-in. Authenticity is an inside-out. It's what's alive on your inside. Who you fucking truly are. That's your authenticity needs. Now, where this gets tricky is we're born in, you were all born into, like, a situation that was not ideal. You know, in a profoundly sick society, your mom, your dad, hey, you might have whatever opinions you have of your mom and dad, and I'm A-okay. Again, your authenticity, your authentic truth that comes through you. I'm A-okay with, hey, you might think your mom or dad were an absolute asshole. Still are assholes, were an asshole if they've passed. Whatever, that's A-okay. I would say that most parents are doing their best intentionality, their best intentioned. They did not have the tools, the podcasts, perspective, the books, the whatever was available, but maybe they did have it and maybe they just had their karma was to be an asshole. Whatever it is, it wasn't ideal, the environment any one of you was born into. No matter how loving you want to be, retrospectively, you know, looking back on your upbringing, your parents, maybe like mine, they tick so many boxes, like you can feel fortunate. You didn't suffer any distinct, what we might call like, oh, serious trauma, you know, sexual abuse or your parents splitting up, abusive parenting, alcoholism, drug abuse, you know, you weren't bet, etc., etc. However, we had growing up because, and listen to this one. As a kid, we cleverly position meeting our attachment needs as being the priority because it guarantees our survival. Remember? It's like, if you don't get food, if you don't get, you know, shelter, movement when you're crying, you don't get the touch, you die. So it makes sense from a biological evolutionary perspective that it's like, hey, attachment is the priority. Authenticity is important, but if there's a choice between them, in your formative years, you know, it's like just born to 7, 8, 9 years of age, it makes sense. It's like kudos to your inner child, your 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old self for going, you know, I got to prioritize meeting my attachment needs. And if my authentic expression is not loved, well, I'll drop my authentic expression in favor of attachment needs. There's no point pissing mommy or daddy off when they're the ones that's to provide the food, the touch, the movement needs to keep me alive, ultimately. What we learn, and touch base with this, because every man, like at the crux of marriage, you know, when you get really down to it, when you're in Heroic Husbands men's circles or in coaching with me, and what comes down to it, like one crunch point for guys is, my wife doesn't, she doesn't want all of me. She doesn't want to know about my needs, my desires, like, and a lot of anger comes up with it, a ton of energy. Now, you mightn't feel comfortable with this, with me pointing this out, but trust me, it's like 100% of the time, there is a level of intensity of, she hasn't held space for me, and she shut me down, and when I bring my masculine energy, my powerful badass energy, she doesn't feel safe, and then she blocks me off, she shuts it down. It'll make sense here, it's not about her, it's about you. This entire movement is about taking extreme ownership. In high energy moments when we're growing up, we end up learning that we are too much. Now think about this. Heroic humility, the ground of truth to where you were at looking back. Were there any moments when, you know, when you were in your blissful, excited, joyous expressions, were you ever told to be quiet? Were you ever told to, oh, stop being bold? Were you ever told, you know, the savage thing to be told is like, hey, were you ever told, oh, be a good boy and sit down? Because what they're saying is you're being bold, you're being a bad boy because you're shouting, you're roaring, you're climbing, you're... Did that ever happen to you? Now, we can, as rational-minded, you know, 30-year-olds, 40, 50-year-olds, whatever, 60-year-olds, we can rationally go, oh, but, you know, like, you might get it, think you get the point now as a parent. It's like, oh, you know, it's like, mom and dad had troubles, they're doing the best. Like, I mean, it's okay, as parents, I get why you were telling me that. But think about your human experience at that time. What you end up learning is, you know, you're there, you're in your environment, you're climbing, you're shouting, you're dancing, you're singing, you're fucking going crazy. The natural aggressive play that is, it's part of your boy's nature. You learn that's too much. So you learn to attach anxiety, shame, sadness to this feelings of bliss, of joy, of outlandish creative endeavor, of just full open-hearted expression when you come into the space and you don't give two fucks about anybody. It's just you're taken on this tsunami of joy. You learn that you get knocked down in those moments emotionally. You start learning intensely positive emotional states are too much. And we make this subconscious assumption, we assume we are too much. We don't link it with the behaviors. We don't link it with, oh, well, mom and dad, you know, like this apartment, this house, we're not out in nature. They don't have the support of like a full tribe. You know, this is a profoundly sick society that has detached us, you know, from living in communities where we're all connected and all our human needs, community needs, family needs are being met. So there's not this pressure. You don't have the perspective as a 3-year-old to realize, oh, well, mom and dad are living in this profound sick society and the financial pressures and now the two of them are needing to work in the tax system, blah, fucking blah, blah, blah. You've none of that. So in that moment, you have none of that perspective. You have none of that human attunement. You're not meant to. So you we make these, we deduce, we add meaning to it. It's like, well, if all my positive emotional states are too much, I guess shut down regularly, we assume we are too much. It's like, I must be too much. I'm not lovable. My highest, most joyous expression, I'm not lovable. We turn the volume down. And it's not just on emotional things. You know, it's on our expressions of activity. You know, we learn that daddy loves us when we throw a ball or we do some sporting stuff or we do stuff that's like manly. But he ignores us when we talk about our favorite interests of bugs or fucking butterflies or, you know, art. It's something that, you know, that's not the man's thing to do. We learn daddy loves us when we do certain activities. So what do? We forget all of these interests off us and we just throw the fucking ball or, you know, the hockey. We play basketball. We roughhouse with him. And we forget all of these other elements of our expression because it wasn't lovable to dad. Again, attachment needs. He loves us. He plays ball with us, but he, like, couldn't give two shits, like, after 30 seconds of us talking about these other things. So we drop these things. Touch base with yourself. Can you resonate looking back? And again, forget about the adult version that can rationalize this. You know, imagine, you know, the 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old self that brings something to him. It's your dad. He's God for you. He's the mountain. He's fucking Zeus for you. And he rejects you. He rejects that interest off you. And he only has this small category of activities that he will join with you if he joins with you at all. And with your mother, in general, you know, mammy loves me when I'm a good boy. But she hates me when I go full flame masculine energy. In her language, that's being a bad boy. You know, that's actually also known as being a natural high energy boy. But she, did you have the experience that at times that your mother just didn't like your masculine energy? And if you're like 90 to 95% of men out there, as a boy, you had a higher proportion of parenting from your mother. Even when your dad was around, she was probably doing more of the parenting job, and your dad was just called upon when it was time to discipline. Here, take Mark, have a chat with Mark outside. You know, he's been bold. It was like called on in times of high need. And then at school, we had, in early days in schools, early years of the educational system, it's predominantly women, females that are doing the teaching. So we had a lot of this female energy that did not know how to acknowledge and how to affirm our masculine energy. So again, formative years when we form the beliefs that serve us for a lifetime, unless we do shadow work, just building that in there, we form the foundational beliefs that will create our entire existence. And part of that is hold back your powerful masculine expression in front of women. Because we learn that when you're boisterous, when you're confident, when you're, you know, when you express anger, when you say no, when you're assertive, they don't like that. We learned that that was not liked. I want to say, actually, bring this live and real, because my practice is I meet my authenticity needs and I actually don't care about how other people relate to me attachment-wise, within reason. Very real in this episode now. I'm literally in our sitting room. And I don't know. I think the tech of this headset sort of dampens out environmental noise. So you might actually be hearing it. Maybe not. But we have budgies, beautiful birds, and their cages in our sitting room. Why I'm over-communicating this is it's very real. Because I know when I started doing the work first, I felt embarrassed about the background. I felt embarrassed about, we have a 100-year-old Irish cottage. Absolutely beautiful where it is. But hey, up until a year ago, we were experiencing poverty because for several years, I've been building this movement, this idea from my marriage breakdown, breakthrough idea. Decided not to work, do a standard job because I just wasn't happy. It wasn't my authentic truth. I was feeling embarrassed. And I was feeling that I wouldn't share it with you guys. And this morning, what's happening is, like, where I normally do my work, I take all my one-on-one calls, I do my podcast recording, I do all the Zoom calls for Heroic Husbands Men Circles. And hey, money-wise, business-wise, it's the snowball. It's incredible. From six guys just over 12 months ago, yesterday we had a new intake. There's 37 men in the movement, and it's sensational. But I take all my calls from the corner of our bedroom. Because as we build our finances, as the business organism grows and the expansion, and it's coming, I can do infinitely more now than I could like 3 months ago, 6 months ago. But I'm creating all this movement from our bedroom. This all has to do with this episode, with authenticity and attachment. This morning, well, it was last night, one of our girls, Elena, she's 10, she's like totally down with a head cold. So she was really suffering it, and she sleeps in the other bedroom with her sister, Anya. And Anya gets pissed when Elena is snuffly. It's just sniffling, and she gets annoyed. And Elena just was like, guys, can I sleep in the bedroom with you? So she's sleeping on the bedroom floor. I went up. I actually forgot about it. I went up to record the podcast episode. And I was like, oh, fuck. Elena's in the room. And she was out cold, guys. I mean, like, comatose. I didn't have it in my heart to wake her up. I was like, part of her healing, sleeping is the most healing thing going. So I was like, I'm not going to wake her up, and I'm not going to start recording a podcast episode that will inevitably wake her up. So I came down here to the sitting room, and I could feel this sort of thing of inside of myself, a part of me going, okay, is this okay? Because if the birds could go crazy, that could interrupt the podcast episode. And here's the thing, guys. I have learned through shadow work, which we're on a deepening conversation, and we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of it, because it has all to do with meeting your attachment needs, but not sacrificing your authenticity needs, who you truly are. In this moment that I'm inviting you in, that I'm literally living this moment now, recording this live, I'm looking at the birds. They're not cheeping so much. I'm using this to express my human experience, where I prefer profound over professional. I have found that guys to be professional would sell their own fucking mother. And what being professional about, in many senses, comes from meeting social expectations so that people won't judge you in business. But in life, we do the same thing. For the sake of upholding our personality and the opinion of people, and we do it for the opinion of people outside of us, because we end up in this mangled mess that our queen will be there tomorrow morning, our kids will be there, and we prioritize the opinions of other people. So we end up sacrificing authenticity, and for the sake of not feeling embarrassed or feeling the risk of, you know, me of a few years ago could have been, ye guys listening, you're going to, you know, not meet me there. You're going to withdraw your attachment needs. You're going to like hear birds in the background and go make a judgment and go, fuck this. Like this dude just doesn't have his shit together. He doesn't have a studio like Joe Rogan. He doesn't have. And I've had to work with this and go, my human experience now is I'm a fucking dad. My most important role in the world is I'm a fearless father. Heroic husband, fearless father. This is an honor and a privilege. It's like my most important role. My role with supporting you guys, with supporting, you know, guys in Heroic Husbands Men Circles later today, getting this podcast episode out, my need to, you know, put a professional thing together. I'm getting the best equipment. I'm doing the best that I can. The tech I have, hopefully, has taken out the birds in the background and noise of tractors that come by, big machines that come by our house. But I'm not going to sacrifice my authentic human experience. And my authentic human experience today is I'm prioritizing the healing of my kid. Honestly, I've learned to not give two fucks. Like, there's a line of anger that protects me, that if some of you back off and go and make a judgment of, oh, I can't believe, like he said, it's a bedroom. And like, you make this judgment call that because you have some expectations of how I should be. How, you know, is he successful, is he not? Well, he mustn't be successful if he's doing the fucking podcast from his sitting room, from his bedroom, etc., etc. If you make a judgment like that and you end up detaching from me, you end up judging me, you end up dropping off, here's the thing. I have anger there. I don't give a fuck. This is my practice. And this is what shadow work allows you, because shadow work, again, is building the muscle of your authentic expression is important, and you don't need other people to meet your attachment needs there. You build that muscle for yourself. You do need an environment where your attachment needs are guaranteed. That is Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. That is absolutely necessary for shadow work to happen. My capacity to trust myself and go, hey, my authentic experience here today is, you know, I'm doing the podcast from my bedroom, and like building this strength inside myself to go, my practice is, I don't give a fuck. I'm finding my own 2 feet. That came from me over the last 5.5 years doing repeatedly my own work in men's circles, where when I would express my authentic truth, those men, those leaders, they would hold space and make sure that, you know, I was loved, I was seen, I was heard, I felt safe. Their attachment needs as well, feeling seen, heard, and safe. And my nervous system got to live out again and again and again, oh, I can actually be true. I can be authentic. I can tell whatever is on my mind, and these guys still love me. They still show up. They actually affirm me. They say, thank you. They say, that was so inspiring that you went there. And I've rebuilt the muscle of my authentic truth. I'm okay in that human experience. Now, getting back to the line of, you know, what you end up experiencing is the low energy moments. So we spoke about high energy moments and the activities. The low energy moments when you're growing up. And this is part, I learned this as well. You know, low energy moments is like what would classically be called negative emotion states. I don't like calling them negative. Low energy moments, you know, when you're sad, you're angry. They're two classic ones. There's tons more, but I'll stick with them to simplify the argument. You know, in our low energy moments of sadness and anger, we are told as boys, you know, don't cry. Sadness, grief, just boys don't cry. Come on, like, don't be such a pussy. And we're told that anger is wrong. Now, being told that anger is wrong, particularly by our moms, but our dads can do the whole, you know, I'm bigger than you, stronger than you, have a louder voice. They can outspeak our own anger. But particular with being a husband, you know, when our mothers told us, oh, don't get angry with me, Mark Usher, you know, like, we'd be told this by our mothers and by our teachers, you know, don't get angry, and we'll be scolded for it. Anger is the emotion that supports our boundary setting. It's the most beautiful, pure emotional state imaginable. And when that is shamed, we don't know how to set a boundary and go, hey, back off. Hey, if you keep coming, I have a Spartan shield, which is my anger. If you keep coming against it, you're the one that's going to get hurt. It's not a spear. So we end up with this fucked up relationship with anger. And because it was made feel wrong, we get aggressive and we attack, rather than our anger in marriage being a Spartan shield, which is, I'm saying no to that. You don't get to go over that. And if you try to repeatedly do it, you're the one that's hurting yourself. We end up getting really triggered and we are aggressive. And aggression is not anger. Aggression is a spear. But most people make the mistake and they don't draw a distinction between anger and aggression. Really fucks up everything that's amazing in marriage. So we learn that our sadness and our anger, we're not good enough. We're told, you know, we're a pussy by boys at school, maybe by our dads. Like, oh, don't cry. Boys don't cry. Come on, man up, we get told later on. Our mothers maybe are more nurturing than our dads in our sadness. Maybe, not always. But our mothers definitely come in and go hard against our anger. we learn to turn the volume down on these emotions, these low energy moments. We learn to switch off. Oh, I'm not sad. Most guys will say, you know, oh, I'm just tired. I'm tired. So often physical reports of tiredness and exhaustion are actually unexpressed, unacknowledged sadness. It's like, oh, I don't know why, I'm just so tired these days. Very often, it's an emotional charge that you have disconnected with years ago. This creates a disaster zone. You know, where we learn that sadness, our attachment needs aren't met, you know, people distance from us. Anger, when we're trying to just let our mom, dad, the world know, hey, I'm angry here. There's some of my needs, my wishes, my desires, my authentic expression. I'm not liking what you're doing to me. I'm not liking this environment. I don't like school. I have a need to move my body. I'm not liking being told to sit at this goddamn fucking family reunion dinner that's boring as fuck, and I'm not being allowed to speak at the table. I want to move. I'm angry. You know, all of this authentic expression was told, no, 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 not here. So we learn to sit and shut up during social occasions. We learn to sit and shut up for fucking 16, 17 years of education when just don't question them, don't say anything, you know, submit to the authority figures in your life. We learn to be a good citizen ultimately. So being a good citizen is don't go with your authentic expression. The best and most powerful aspects of your being gets ripped out. Going through the educational system alone, guys, you talk about your needs, meet the needs of attachment, you know, just be a good boy, don't be bold. And if you remain connected with that bold element and your high energy, they'll slap a label on you and they'll say, oh, what is it, ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. You have a disorder. No, you're just remaining with your primal energy as a human fucking being is what they're doing. They call it a disorder and they drug you. The people with ADHD, I salute them. I say, well fucking done for remaining pure with your energy. But we shame them. We give them a medical disorder because they won't be a good citizen. They won't be a good boy. It's a tragedy. It's a fucking tragedy what happens. Again, authentic expression. I've coached men who their entire childhood was fucked up. They were drugged with because they had ADHD. They actually literally cried when I said, hey man, you were just being a boy. It's the school system was fucked up. And it was horrifying that your parents went with that. Hey, they were doing what the experts told them. That's horrifying. These men came alive a few weeks later. Like, you don't have ADHD, man. You're just a high-energy human being. You just got to design your life around your authentic truth. You were one of the great ones. You didn't... I actually downplayed my energy. I learned to fit into the education system. Horrifyingly so. So, what all of this comes to, guys, is... we end up learning a life strategy, and I would call it the Goldilocks strategy. Not too little, you know, too little energy. That's sadness, that's anger, that's low vibrational stuff. Not too little and not too much. Joy, bliss, all radical happiness, excitement. No, we turn the volume over time to just the right amount of emotion that were acceptable. Not too much. You know, joy, people get uncomfortable because they don't know how to be fucking happy. Your parents didn't really know how to be happy. They disconnected with this. So too much happiness, it's triggering. They're like dampened down. You know, just come down to our level, but not too low because too low of energy, sadness, grief, anger. We don't know how to hold space for that. So just get to this thin line, the 1% of the orchestra of human existence that's allowed, of emotional expression that's allowed. Go there. And we do that. But the sixth joke comes in marriage, because what do our queens want? They want all of us. They want emotional attunement. They want our full emotional display, but they want us to express it in a way that is safe for them. But we don't know how to make that safe, because When we experience anger, we have to suppress that. When we experience sadness, we suppress that. We suppress our happiness. We express our wishes, desires, all of the shit. That's the shadow. We lock all of that stuff to the background. And like, when that comes up, we get triggered. We feel anxiety. We feel sick. We start shaking if we get pushed on it. And that's what happens in marriage. Our queens want to know more of us. They want to know what we are yes to and what we're no for, but we don't know how to express anger purely, so they shut us down, but it's on us. So shadow work is where you get to start training and practicing bringing your authentic truth back out, rediscovering, remembering, reconnecting with who you are. But there's a major thing in this is, and I had one of the guys there that joined Heroic Husbands in this fresh intake that came to me. I was talking about shadow work. I was talking about these dynamics, authentic expression. He was like, man, Mark, I get it, but fuck. You know, it's like when I tell my queen about my healing journey and about the reasons, you know, my childhood, this dude has done amazing work in therapy. Like really, a really self-aware man. And bringing such beautiful sincerity with his queen, you know, bringing his queen in on the journey. And he's like, man, she just doesn't want to know. And like, there was a deep frustration. He's like, I'm understanding all this shit that you're saying, Mark, but fuck, my experience shows it's different. And he was asking, he was like, what the fuck? Like, what's the story? What do I do with that? And here's the rub, guys. Your queens don't want to have to be the one to hold space for you, to have you, to bring you through the whole process of you remembering and practicing and refining your authentic expression, because there's going to be a lot of shit that will come up for you. And that's the bind. She doesn't want to be your mom. In your masculine, feminine relating practice, you need somebody to hold space for you as you bring your desires out, your needs, your wishes, your wants. You get to practice anger. You get to practice saying no, but practice it and undo the patterns in your system, which goes to defensive, aggressive attack mode, because it's like, hey, when I was 3, 4, 5, I learned that I get attacked. So what do? You get super defensive, you get aggressive, you attack. Some guys can end up lashing out. If you were like me, I was deeply emotionally aggressive and abusive with my queen, with my kids, because my authentic expression was so attacked. My nervous system was always on the lookout. My nervous system never felt safe. Do you resonate with that? That in deep intimacy with your queen, on some level, there's always an edginess in your nervous system. You go white in the face, almost like, oh fuck, she wants to talk about this now. There's a part of you that's always avoiding having the conversation. You know, the conversation. Whatever the topic is about, but you'll have certain conversations that you just don't want to go there. It's all about your old childhood wounds, but you don't want to go there. There's a fear of having this part opened up that is so fucking hauntingly painful for you. But she needs to go there. She doesn't want to be the one that brings you on that healing journey. Because if you put that on your queen, guys, if you try to start doing shadow work with her, you're going to say, hey, you need to get into masculine pole. You need to shut the fuck up. You need to be the mountain in the storm. And no matter what comes through me, you need to meet my attachment needs. You need to be nurturing. You need to make me feel seen, heard, and safe. You don't move away from me. You know, you hold me physically, touch. You may meet all my attachment needs. You're saying, be my mom. So if you start trying to bring all of, and this is why marriage therapy, man, it's so difficult for a man to heal there, because in men's work, we say two things. We say a thing. Men heal with men. Women's work, women heal with women. What happens in shadow work, to give you like an example of it, is it's sort of like fuck the Goldilocks strategy. The Goldilocks strategy is, you know, just not too little, not too much. And it might work in life. You find this, this is where I'm acceptable by life, by society. It's not good enough for your marriage. It's not good enough for parenting. Shadow work is like, fuck the Goldilocks strategy. Bring all of you back in its full glory. Bring the full orchestra of your emotions and bring the full filing cabinet of the unexpressed, of the hidden needs, wishes, desires, dreams that you have. Bring them all back on the table. But do it with a support group of men. I will say again, like, I'm unbiased, or I am totally biased, but I'm fucking A-okay with that because I know I'm a results-based person. I was saying to guys in intake in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles yesterday, there's a new leader, Sav, he's doing amazing work, but it's like, he's a results-based human being. We are a results-based movement. What we do, what we say, gets results. It's not like opinions. Oh, like, you can argue with me on this, but I would put it back to you, man. Like, you're arguing about my opinions on shadow work. You're arguing about my opinions on this. You know, you don't like what I'm saying. How is your belief system working out for you in marriage? It renders our opinions obsolete. I knew I was, like, triggered so many times by intimacy teachers, by what was being told to me. But I learned that was a shadowy part. That was a part of my old, the part of me that was repressed, that I suppressed, that I packed away. When I was triggered by teachers, by coaches, by mentors, I've had really powerful men support me. Anytime I was triggered, it was part of my hidden truth coming back true. But it's like in that wish, that desire, that need coming true, what was coming up was deep amounts of shame, of anxiety, of fear that if I say this thing, these men are going to hate me. That's why it was so triggering. Not a good thing. Like, it's not ordinarily a healing thing to do that with your queen. You need support. Lone wolfing does not work. I give you an example of certain shadow work processes that we do. We do tons of this in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. And again, hence it's so successful in guys coming back to feeling safe in their authentic expression. And from that safety, they can then start a conversation about their wishes, their desires, their needs, what they're going to say no to with the queens eventually when their nervous system is like, hey, I'm fine in my own 2 feet. In the movement, in the podcast, what we speak about, be the mountain in the storm. The mountain is there. It's immovable. If you're psychologically worried that, God, if I express this thing, you know, do I have to retreat or do I have to go on the attack because she's inevitably going to, like, reject me? That's not being a fucking mountain. A mountain is there. I've trained for 5 years in this. It's like, I'm a mountain here. You know, as I said earlier on, it's like, if there's judgments, the budgies haven't went crazy at all. But if there's judgments, I'm a mountain. I don't give a fuck. I'm good with my read of the situation. My daughter's needs, my needs. I'm meeting your needs. If you don't like a budgie, if you make a judgment, it's not professional, blah, 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 blah. It's like, cool, go fuck yourself. Just disconnect from the podcast, disconnect from movement. I don't want that energy in this movement anyway. And if you're that judgmental, that's a key sign. As you do one thing, you do all things. That's a key sign why you're having marital problems. There's a judgmental asshole mode that you have yet to come to terms with. What we do, to give you an example of it, is like to re-welcome and reconnect with the high intensity emotions, those fucking joy and bliss and happiness and what you desire in that. By the way, a lot of guys, 99, I'd say nearly all guys, have a deep struggle with recognizing what you want, what you desire. And like, desire is a whole life thing. It's like what you desire in all levels. You know, what you desire to feel fucking awesome in the bedroom, financially, in your expression in the world, your authentic expression. What do you really desire? You know, there's different practices, like literally just journaling practices. Like, what do you desire? What do you want? A cool one is like, wouldn't it be cool if, sort of not what do I want? It's like, it can be hard and jarring again after years of hiding all that shit. Most men end up in problems in marriage because they're too cognizant and focused off what they don't want. I don't fucking want her giving out to me. I don't fucking want her criticism. I don't fucking want, like, I don't want. And then I asked him a question. What do you want? They go white in the face. And her voice drops and it gets jittery and I don't know. Ah. Does that ring home to you? Like, what do you want? It's a simple question, but it's actually a profoundly difficult thing to do when you've had your entire upbringing denying you and shutting you down for when you express your desires, when you said, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be an artist, I want to be whatever, like, I want to do this, I feel happy, and like, it was all shut down. Touch base with yourself now, because this is shadow work live. You know, what do you want? Do you have like an exact list of what you want? What do you desire in the bedroom? Do you have an exact list of exactly how you want your love life to be with your queen, that you can articulate it in a relaxed, inspired way to her? It's like, hey, baby, this is what I desire with you. This is what I desire to experience. You're the rare man. You probably don't have a need to be listening in if you can do that. If there's zero triggering, if you can land it in a safe way with your queen. So in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, we play with stuff like that. You know, it's like, what do you desire? What do you want? Wouldn't it be cool if? And you share that in front of guys and you start getting okay with, I'm allowed to desire stuff. I have needs. That's okay. I don't need my queen to approve and be in agreement to just actually recognize my own needs. The low intensity emotions, we can do practices like I did with the guys there yesterday in the new intake. It's like, what I don't want you to know about me is, because I can guarantee you, every single one of you has a list. Some, maybe there's a short list of like really big shit that is like heavy as fuck. Stuff that you've done, things that you think that you're like, if I say this to people, you'd never voluntarily in a regular social situation lead with it, like at a dinner party. Oh, hey, man, do you want to know this weird thing I did or this thing I'm deeply ashamed of? And what's powerful about this is when guys do that and they do use the prompt, hey, what I don't want you to know about me is, I used to do this when I was younger. I have stolen. I have these sexual fantasies. I have cheated multiple times. I have a issue with porn. There's a ton of things. But when you do that, you start learning, wow, when I share these things with these men, they don't turn their back on me. And your nervous system starts reclaiming its human right to go, I've had and I'm having a human experience. All of it is welcome. All of it is safe to express in this space. And you reclaim and reconnect with a profound sense of self-esteem that leaves you grounded. And why this works so powerfully in marriage and why I'm so passionate about shadow work and like doing whatever is necessary to get back into the recesses of your mind, of your nervous system, and reclaim and reconnect with what you truly want, who you truly are, with your capacity to reclaim your human right to have anger, to go, hey, I'm feeling this uncomfortable thing. It's called anger. I'm a no to this thing that you're pushing on me. It seems to be pushing on me. I'm a no because I have this need. I have this desire. This is my value. I'm not in agreement. So I'm a no. Thank you very much, but I'm a no, baby. But you're able to say it in a way that it's like, you know, it's like a waiter comes and says, hey, sir, would you like, I don't know, what do you want, dessert after your meal? It's like, no, thank you. It's like, it mightn't be anger, but there's a no. It's like you can land your no, you can land anything expression of your authentic expression after a feeling of anger that is very simple. It's like, no, thanks, baby. I'm not okay with you. I'm not in agreement with what you're saying. It's like, we can have a discussion about it, but right now in this moment, I'm not in agreement with that. Oh, you want to go do that thing? Baby, I'm a no. Now, we can have a discussion about it. Is it really, really, really important to you to go? It's like, I can meet you there, but I want you to know I'm at a no. I don't feel like going to your parents today. I'm a no to that. No, you know, I'm a no to you inviting your friend from college over for the weekend. It's like, I really had this plan. I'm a no, but let's discuss. But you're comfortable to land a really safe no because you're starting to be comfortable with anger again. Meaning, you're not feeling a danger in your nervous system. A threat is always there, that if you express something in front of your queen, some part of your being, some part of what's real for you, some part of what's on your mind, etc., etc., or with other guys, that your marriage is going to fall apart. It's that background anxiety and that apprehension and that defensiveness that actually kills our marriage. Shadow work, heroic husbands, men circles, you repeatedly train your nervous system to keep bringing out that authentic expression. And man, it's exhilarating. That's why you hear the guys, the marriage transformation heroes that come on the podcast, they're in high energy. They love it. Some of the guys have to get up really early in the morning. It's like they're full energy. They get to the end of 2 hours, and 2 hours seems, they say this really commonly, it's like 2 hours, you know, psychologically it seems like a long time. That's a long meeting. The guys get to the end and they want more. It's like it's an astonishing challenge to pack how much we pack in, and they're gung-ho fucking wanting more at the end, that there's not enough in 2 hours. Almost ever. It's fucking scintillating. Because why? When you start doing shadow work, feel my energy. This is like my energy, this authentic energy. This was not welcome at my dinner table. I believed it wasn't welcome with my queen. And the more I get safe, guys, the more I do the podcast, the more I'm incessantly doing my own work. I have my own mentor. I have my own circle now, doing deep men's work, my own private stuff with a guy that fucking knows me like no other man knows me and grills me on my shit every single week. By doing this, I'm more and more, not perfect, but like ton more to do, but I'm more grounded in my truth. I'm more grounded in my passion, in my desire, in my sacred kingly fuck energy of like, hey, I desire this, baby. I want to create this in the movement. I want to do this in the bedroom. Let's fucking go there. I want the whole 5-course, 5-star meal from the human experience. And I fucking deserve that. And that has just come true from years of shadow work, years of feeling massive shame, fear, anxiety, but I fucking share it anyway. And then I've learned to, I'm okay. And in learning I'm okay, I'm way more relaxed with my queen whenever she expresses any of her desires, wishes, feedback, shit like that. When my kids, you know, act up and I don't have a fucking clue what they're doing, what their needs are, they're emotionally all over the space and there's judgments coming through me, I'm soft. I'm able to go, hey, I've judgments there. I don't need to go there. I don't need to go with any burp of my nervous system. That was shadow work, guys. That's training my nervous system. Marriage is off the fucking charts. It's the infinite game. Non-stop expansion is what I'm doing with my queen. It's exhilarating. I felt the most fucked up guy five and a half years ago, like radically. I thought there was no hope for me. Literally, it's one of those cliche things. If there's hope for me, if I can get to where I am as a regular dude, it's available to you. The guys in the Heroic Husbands circles, they know this to be true. That's why they're so committed to showing up. That you have to have a willingness to do the work. The vast majority of guys absolutely fucking love it. Some guys, hey, they don't have that masculine core and they want the easy way. They want therapy. They want, oh, but I don't want to do this work. This is uncomfortable. I just want to live hiding behind my fucking opinions. Well, hey, they're shown the door. They voluntarily go. And I'm smiling happy when those guys go. Because in Heroic Husbands men's circles, it's masculine practice, guys. If you like sport, if you like intensity, it's masculine. That's what you get. That's why guys come on fucking fire. The challenge is to you, my amazing man. Lone wolfing does not work. Shadow work, you can't do shadow work through reading books. You can't do shadow work. The vast 99.99999% of therapy is not shadow work. You can't do it by yourself. Don't try and start doing it with your queen, having her hold space for you. Really bad, bad idea. I've been there. Bad fucking idea. Bad idea. Shadow work. Find a culture, a space of human beings where you can reconnect with the infinite ocean of your potentiality. If you are not feeling that you're living your potential in marriage, in your career, financially, as a man, in your parenting, in your creative expression, in your legacy that you, and legacy is everything for us as men. It's like, what, I'm leaving behind something that is of epic value to the next seven generations after. Like, it's legacy. It's so masculine, the need and desire to live on purpose. If you're not living with purpose, where you're jumping out of bed going, I fucking love my existence. I love where my existence is going. I am the creator of my own reality. If you don't have any of that, Heroic Husbands Men Circles is the place for you. We've had a fresh intake. The movement has went from 6 guys to 37 guys. We're in the ascendancy. The first member is in formal leadership training. Sav has taken over one of the groups this week. We are expanding and we are hungry as a movement of guys. There's 37 guys in the movement. There's myself there. There's 38 men. We're hungry to have more powerful, badass men like you in, because every single one of you that has the spiritual balls to get into the podcast episode description, click in the link, set up the application call and join. The movement gets stronger. There's so much inspiration to be had. 37 amazing men waiting for you, myself included. It's 38. You will be the next one, but not without 10 seconds of insane courage, going beyond years of hiding your epic fucking genius brilliant self behind. Stop doing it, man. Bring it out. Lone wolfing does not work. Jump in the podcast description, set up the call, and man, I can pretty much guarantee you it's going to be the single most life transforming decision you've ever made. With that, in perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful Kingly's Day.